I know that Ebersoles are no strangers to you all, and it's been a little while since I shared this message. Thank you, Ernest. And I'm not sure why the Lord had it that I would share it again, except that maybe I needed the personal study and refreshment. I don't know how it is for you from day to day, but we get caught up in the busyness of life, and caught up in the events of life, and sometimes we don't even stop to think about what am I really getting done and how well am I doing at it. Tonight I would like to give you two acronyms for the word life. Life. Live it fully every day. Talking about personal time management. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17 that God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. How many of you are enjoying life tonight? I think most of us would say so. How many of you would say you have some stress in your life? Did you ever figure out why you have stress in your life? Are you supposed to have stress? God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Are we supposed to enjoy stress? Do you enjoy stress? I don't usually think I do. It seems like stress is a norm in American life. Can you turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3? You can think about those thoughts a little bit. We're going to touch on just a little bit more of that shortly, this thing of stress. Why we have stress, or at least some of the reasons we have stress. Ecclesiastes 3, I'm sure you'll remember these verses, very familiar verses, and we're not going to read about all the different seasons and times. There are quite many and varied throughout this chapter. We're going to read verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. It's pretty basic. We're familiar with that. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Season and time. What are the things that strikes you after a few years roll by is that you go through these seasons in life. And unfortunately, many times we don't realize that until maybe a season is passed and say, you know what? Childhood is past and gone. I wish I would have enjoyed it more. Most of you adults feel like that. I do. Why couldn't I have enjoyed it more? You know, most of my growing up years, I was pining for the next thing in life. You know, when am I going to get my driver's license? When am I going to get to fill in the blank? Anything from driving the mower to eventually time to date or get married or whatever. At my stage in life, now I feel like I could just wish I could slow things down. Why do we have to go through life so fast? Just slow it down a little bit. Here it introduces us to the thought of seasons, but each season of life has unique privileges and responsibilities of that period. And believe it or not, it changes to different privileges and responsibilities as God moves us through life, and I believe that He has a purpose in moving us through life. One of the things I would just like to say that enjoy the season of life that you're in right now because it's not going to last very long. It was interesting some time back. I took the opportunity to meet and talked to the older men in the nursing home, and several of which had raised their families in conservative circles. And I believe at least two of them, their wives, were dead and gone. And I asked them, what were the best years of your life? And I didn't know what I would hear. But interestingly enough, both of them said, the best years of my life was when my family was all gathered around my table. And that surprised me a little bit, especially because the one I knew struggled with having enough of food and clothing to care for his family. And he struggled through those years. And yet, at the end of all that, he said, those were the best years of my life. And so this evening, if you're in a hurry for your children to grow up because you're tired of the stress and strain, maybe you need to stop and reconsider that this season will pass and we need to enjoy it while we're in it. Time management. Why do we need to talk about time management? I think the first answer is fairly obvious. That is because we live in a finite world and we are finite people, basically meaning that my time, my money, my energy, and all that I have is limited, and pretty soon it will come to an end. It's all running out. There is so much to do, and time is running out. There's a limited amount of time in a day, and yet there's endless possibilities of things to get done. The second reason we need to talk about it, I already mentioned this thing called stress. Why do we have stress? I believe there's many reasons, but one of the reasons that we have stress and anxiety is because there's a disconnect between our values, which is what we believe really matters, and our behavior, which is the way we actually live. We know what we want to get done and what we value in life, and yet we realize what we're actually doing with our life, and we realize that we're not living up to our goals and expectations, and so we have a stress and anxiety because we're always a couple days behind. And they talk about being finally saw a light at the end of the tunnel and realizing it's a train coming. And we can all, picture that in our own experience. There's times when we think we have relief and only realize that things are getting worse. But I believe that it's important to deal with that so that our real values get served and so that there's not that disconnect. The third reason I believe is the most important, and that is, we'll find that in Ephesians 5. You can turn with me there. We looked at an Old Testament passage. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Some more familiar verses. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We see here two groups of people. We see the fools, and we see the wise. It says in verse 17 that we should not be unwise, but we should be careful to understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is for what? I believe that one of the questions that needs to be answered is how we spend our time. It has here the thought of redeeming, putting it to good use. Yes, life is a once and done opportunity. What are we doing with our time? Question for you. It says here that we would understand what the will of the Lord is. Is it God's will that we endure stress and anxiety about how to live our lives? Is that God's will? Is it God's will to give us more than that what we are able to handle? I think that you could answer yes or no and probably explain your answer and be right. Because I believe that all of life is bigger than we are. And yet at the same time, God wants us to enjoy life and to have a pleasant experience. Yes, maybe stretch beyond what we feel like we can handle, but with His strength, I believe that He wants us to be able to handle our lives, to be able to manage and get through. One of the things that we have to reconcile is God's will for our lives, others' will for my life, and my will. And this is one thing that some of us fall into a trap. If someone comes and knocks on your door and says, I need help, What would you say? Well, it depends what the need is. You know, in this world of need, there are endless amount of people asking for help. And people will run you ragged if you'll just serve them. And there's a sense where we are called to serve them. But there is a time maybe to say, well, what is the will of the Lord in this situation? And sometimes God's will is, of course, to say no. Well, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Looking at the message, the main part of it, practical pointers for time management. Each of these points begin with the phrase, to manage my time wisely, I must, and we have 9 different points here. To manage my time wisely, I must understand my life's purpose. We just read that in Ephesians 5, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we notice the two groups of people. There are people that don't care what God thinks. It really doesn't matter to them what God thinks. And that group is the fool, right? But the wise, do they consider what God wants for their life? Absolutely. Which one am I in? What duties is God calling me to fulfill? Which opportunities are my duties? I surely can't do everything. One of the things that's interesting to realize about Christ's life, as much authority as he had, he said in John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." I believe sometimes we're stressed because our will isn't God's will. And sometimes there's things that we're hanging on to that we need to let go of. God, I'm ready to give this up. Are we willing to say that? I believe that it might be well for us, especially those of us who are caught with too many things to do, to sit down with the activities that need to fill next month and define what really matters in life, what really matters, and then ask God, which one of these do you want me to get done for you? Ask God to define what really matters. Is it reasonable to conclude that the main reason we don't have enough time is that we are trying to do more than God intended for us to do? It's something to think about, especially in the day and age in which we live. It seems like just bombarded with way too much to get done. The second thought is to manage our time wisely, to manage my time wisely, I must take time to plan. It turns me to Luke chapter 14. Here in Luke 14, Jesus teaches us a principle, something that we need to think about. Verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beholdeth it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." The saying goes, he who fails to plan, plans to fail. And I know there's a limit to this in life, but I believe that there's a lot of things that we do well to stop and think about. You know, I'm blessed with at least one visionary son, and there's a lot of things, projects get started. And I think I had a few brothers like that too. I remember my dad saying, you're not going to start another project until you finish the last one you started. And that's good wisdom for boys. You know, it's pretty easy to buy the materials and start, but it takes a lot more dedication to finish it. And it's good before we purchase the materials for a project to think about, do I really have what it takes to finish it? I remember some crossbows that, for all I know, might still be sitting in the shop attic, things that we started and just never got done. Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Did you catch that? Everyone that is hasty, only to want. There's things that if we don't really think through, if we think them through, we'll stop ourselves and say, you know what? I can't take this trip. I can't afford it. But otherwise, we might just think of our desires and never think it through. What about my life? Am I planning, thinking ahead, or is it just crisis management? Proverbs 21 that we just read in another translation says, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Maybe just the question, how many of you planned to be here today? Absolutely you did. When did you start planning for that? Some of you planned for a day of rest earlier this week, and you thought about your schedule. Well, that's got to wait till Monday, but if we're going to be here, we got to do this. And surely you as fathers checked to see if there was enough gas in the vehicle for Sunday activities, and you sisters checked the wash to be sure the boys' shirts and pants were done, and a lot of things happen, and we don't even think about it. We're so used to planning ahead. Some of us need to plan ahead a little more. We need to make a schedule. We need to budget our time. How many hours of sleep do I need? How much quiet time do I need? How much time do I need on the job to pay my bills? How much time should I be spending with the family or with the church? The work projects, how much time will they take? And then to set realistic expectations. Too often, I'll be honest, I'm overly optimistic. Oh yeah, we can get that done. But when it actually comes down to it, there's just not enough hours of manpower to get it done. And that's unfortunate because we cause ourselves a lot of pain by failing to plan. Saying also goes, you need to hope for the best, but plan for the worst. And I believe that there's wisdom in that as well. Planning for unexpected problems. Thirdly, to manage our time wisely, we must set priorities. Turn with me to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 talks about the common cares that we deal with. Verse 31, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To manage my time wisely, I must set priorities. Jesus said that we must set priorities to experience life as he intended for us to live it. He also taught us that if we put God first, the rest will find its place in our lives. And this is exactly where many, many times, I'll be honest, I go wrong. I would like to use this opportunity to do a simple illustration. Hopefully it won't take too much time. I don't know if you'll all be able to see it or not, but I have two empty containers that represent two men and their days and eventually two. Men in their lives, and they have time each of our lives.
have two equal portions of everything here, right? You have two balls, styrofoam balls, the same size. This represents God. Okay? Well, we'll just start with that. The man here on my right, he chooses God to be first in his life each day. That's the best thing. This represents my hobbies, my hunting and fishing, and the crafts and decorating, mountain biking, hiking, kayaking, filling, I don't know what your hobbies are. And this man, he doesn't want to lose out on the fun things in life, so he puts that first. Bags of marbles here. The marbles represent the normal duties of life. The common everyday thing, like sleeping, eating, gardening, etc. And of course both men have to do these things as well. They just gotta fit in and fill in. Second man, that's his goal. Makes his mundane things of life. He puts that stuff. Second, then we have these couple other balls here. The three yellow ones represent our marriage, family, our job. Three very important aspects of life. Finds time for that, that all fits in well in the schedule. He also finds time for budgeting, financial management, whatever else is important. And as he lives his life and prioritizes in that order, he is not fine. The man on the right, however, puts God first. And then, of course, he needs time to eat, sleep, find. Right along with all that, he prioritizes his marriage. He prioritizes his family. Sure, he needs time to plan for his budget. But he does take time for his job as well. Along with the other men that make things together. After the important things are done, yeah, most of us pack a lot in. You know how much we can pack in. After he puts all those important things in, then comes his hobbies. And it's amazing, he put first things first. Amazing if you put first things first, what all else? Notice each of these had equal amounts of authority. The wise man who prioritizes the right thing, he will fit the entire amount into his life. It is life. You can ask the question, what's the difference? One of the key differences. question is, how am I living my life? Am I prioritizing the right things in life? And sometimes by what we think is cutting corners, we actually cut ourselves short. We don't actually get it done.
What are my priorities in my life? What comes first? I believe it's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Fourthly, to manage my time wisely, I must discipline myself to keep things in their proper place. I think this is something that some of us men don't do well, because we get into a box and we need to finish this. This is my focus. How many men are like that tonight? I think most of us are. There's times when it was said of Thomas Edison that he said, "Oh, I forgot I was married." He was so focused on what he was trying to do and his invention. Keeping things in their proper place. If you look at the list in Ecclesiastes 3, there are times for many different and diverse things, but the key is to do everything when it needs to be done and to keep it into its proper time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." And I know that he was talking about his carnal desires and things that he needed to control, but he lived a disciplined life. Today, disciplined living is not popular. If you're going to enjoy life, you need to go out there and you need to live it up. Today is your only opportunity, and you may not have another. You know, there's a time to get out of bed. There's also a time to go to bed. You know, some of us struggle on both ends. There's just a lot of things. Life is full of those kind of things that we need to keep in its proper place. I could go down a long list. Fifthly, to manage my time wisely, I must discipline myself to get the job done. Don't procrastinate. We need to do now what needs to be done now. In Acts 24, verse 25, talks about, and just breaking into the middle of the paragraph here, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." Why did he tremble? He knew what he should be doing right now. Right now he should be surrendering his life to God. But he trembled and said, "Not now." He said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Too many things, we have a window of opportunity to do what we need to do, and that window is open and then it closes. And if we wait till the window is closed, our opportunities are gone. You know, it's that way, mothers with your children and fathers with your children. You have windows of opportunity to touch their lives. Someday you won't have that same opportunity. It's with the neighbors. It's with, go down the list, almost everything that we have this little window. If we procrastinate, we may never get a second chance. So we must do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. I don't know about you, but often on, too many times in the past on the job, a customer will call, "Hey, I need my stuff tomorrow." "Okay, that's fine. Pick it up tomorrow." And then throughout the day, I'll be thinking, let's see, how long does it take? And when do I need to start it to be finished on time? Well, I don't need to start it too early, because, you know, we don't need to have it sitting around. We run into trouble when we think like that. Procrastination. Many things never get done because I don't feel like doing it now. Sixthly, to manage my time wisely, I must take time to organize. Take time to organize. Some of us need this point maybe more than others. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Give order to our lives. We talked about planning. I believe another thing is time to organize. I can't tell you, just from personal illustration, one thing with routers, CNC routers, is we get all different cutters that do all different things. And the problem is as you do custom work, you do have a cutter for this and a cutter for that. And it's hard to even know how to organize these cutters because some are used for this job, only that job. Some are used for multiple jobs. Some are used one of a kind. Others are duplicates. Some are large. Some are small. Some are full diameter. Some get sharpened to a smaller diameter. And it's just a lot of keeping after. Unfortunately, well, I've spent a lot of time thinking about how I could organize these cutters, but unfortunately, I never took the time it would take to organize all of them. I have a certain category organized, but once you get out of that box, there's projects that come in and I say, see, I know I used this one time, but how do I know where to get it? And think about how many hours I've wasted trying to find cutters that I had no idea where they were put last. You know, it's all within 3 or 4 drawers, but being the hundreds of cutters that are in there, how do you find the right one? Luke 15 talks about a lady who lost a coin. It says, imagine a woman, this is in a different translation, who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a candle and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure, she'll call her friends and neighbors. Celebrate with me, I have found my lost coin. Think about the hours she spent. What if she would have just put it in a safe place? And that's where it would be. Declutter. Today we have too many things. We need to spend time to make a place for everything and keep everything in its place. And I know that some of us scoff at that because it hardly seems possible, but it is something to strive for. To manage our time wisely, we must take time to organize. Seventhly, to manage our time wisely, we must... Wait a minute, I just got a text. Oh, sure enough, yeah. To manage our time wisely, we must stop doing what doesn't matter. That's right. We must stop doing what doesn't matter. And I don't know if I should even be saying this point, because I'm probably guilty countless times a day of doing just that. But it's something we need to think about. It's something that our fathers didn't have to struggle with when they raised their children. But if we could only see all the ridiculous trades that we make for that little cell phone, this thing called technology. Yes, it saves us so much time, but how much does it really cost us? How many times have I reached for my phone instead of applying my hand to the thing that I should have been doing? And it sidetracks us. Which is more important? News, email, text, Voxer messages, WhatsApp, and the list is getting bigger. You know, when I made this list a year ago, I didn't even have several of the ones I have today to take my time. Which is more important, these items or undivided time with God, undivided time with my wife, quality time with my child, undivided time with my customer, time to meditate, safety in driving, productivity in work, and the list goes on and on. What are we willing to trade for a text or an email? Some people have traded their lives for a text or an email. Let's be careful and get caught up in this thing. Missed opportunities. Our cell phones are costing us priceless opportunities. Eighthly, you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 18. We're going to read here the little story of Moses and what Moses' father-in-law had of insight into his life that could help him properly manage his personal life and his time. Verse 13, "And it came to pass that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto even. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have done a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing which thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way therein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, having covetousness in place, such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, that they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou do this thing the Lord command thee so, then shalt thou be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way unto his own land. What a valuable principle Moses' father-in-law Jethro taught him. To manage our time wisely, I must learn to delegate. Learn to delegate. You know, you're not going to grow if you're going to do everything yourself, whether it's in your home or whether it's in your business. You as mothers, it takes time to delegate, because if you looked at the process here, it didn't just happen on its own. Delegating takes work. You know, it takes time of teaching. You need to teach your children how to do a job so that someday they can do it successfully. You need to teach, and then you need to train. And training is going back and checking, are they doing it right? Doing follow-up, giving pointers, teaching and training. You know, through all this, we empower others and we find relief in our own lives. Teach, train, and empower others. You know, it works in the home, parents to children. It also works in the business place. There's times to let go. We can't manage every aspect of our business if we're going to grow. Yes, it's hard to let go, but finally we do need to teach, train, and then trust their judgment. You know, even Jesus delegated the work of the church on earth to men. And sometimes, actually a lot of the time, I don't understand why God uses men in his church, because we mess a lot of things up. We really do. And I think that it's okay for us to consider that as we delegate, yes, they'll need to learn. One of the things, I remember some CEO, and I don't even remember who it was, but they delegated some work, and as they delegated it, the man made a terrible mistake. Cost tens of thousands of dollars, cost the company that, and he went to his boss and just assumed that he would get his walking papers. And the boss looked at him and said, "Well, you know, you learned a valuable lesson. You're a much more valuable employee to me now." He said, "I'm not going to fire you. I've invested a lot into you, and we're going to keep moving forward." And you think about that. A lot of people throw them out and have to learn all over with the next one. And I believe that it's right to delegate and expect mistakes along the way, but it's one of the things that we need to learn if we're going to manage our time wisely. Ninthly, to manage our time wisely, we must learn to be flexible. You know, all of this so far is things that we try to do, we try to accomplish. Things that we try to control, we try to manage. But there is a time to be flexible. In James 4, verse 13, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this, and do that." And so we see he's teaching them, yes, it's right to have purpose and goals, but we finally need to allow some flexibility. Maybe my will isn't God's will. And maybe there's other difficulties that will come in. Flexibility is a key principle. Because no matter how much you plan, no matter how much you organize, no matter how much you prioritize, things will happen that could change everything. There are events in life that can change quickly in an instant, that can change our lives forever. Someone once said, "Blessed are the flexible, for they are not easily broken." I think there's a number of reasons that we need to be flexible. And one is, as I mentioned, that God might want to rearrange my day. Am I okay if God wants to rearrange my day? The other day I had an unfortunate experience, a little vehicle accident, and I struggle with that. I remember years ago when I had an accident when I was young, and my mind kept replaying the incident, and what if he would have done this, and what if I would have done that, and why didn't he do this, and why didn't I do that? And you wanted to go back and change everything in your mind, but you can't. You know, God can have a purpose in our pain. There's a reason that we run up against disappointments and difficulties. We must be okay when things don't go our way. Flexibility. What if the things that I set out to do didn't get done? Is that okay? Yes, it is okay and normal if I fall short of my expectations. You know, someday, very soon, time will be over. If time is over and my list of things is undone, is that okay? If my list is undone, life is over and my list is incomplete. And I can already see that's going to happen. Yes, that's okay. But what if time is over and God's list of things for me to do were left undone? That's tragic. My prayer is that God would help us to live today as He intends for us to live. I would like to give you another acronym for the word life. We said live it fully every day. And I believe that God wants us to do that. But I believe more importantly, life, live it for eternity. Live it for eternity. Make your purpose, your goals, your planning and your priorities, your discipline to get things done, and your discipline to not let things undone, all the organization and the crowding out of the unimportant, learning to delegate, learning to be flexible, let all that be focused, putting God first and His kingdom first. And then, as in Matthew says, if we take care of those things first, everything else will fall into place. That's the goal that I'm striving for. And I pray that as we keep striving, that God will make it a reality. May God bless you as you give your lives to God and ponder how you can live each day with His priorities in mind. We pray.
Yeah.